Don't they know that we are in the cyber pocket of greatness?
The Halifax Daily News, internationally across the globe. Now, your host, Jamie and Lisa.
And we are officially the number one Halifax podcast in Tasmania.
Hey!
How's that for international? Second part of our interview with Harv Stewart coming up in just a moment. First, though, some quick news.
Yeah, just want to throw a number at you. 8,369. Do you know what that number represents?
No. I just thought we were throwing numbers back and forth.
8,369, the number of potholes in the HRM that are patched, repaired, or about to be repaired.
Now, about to be repaired, is that the chalk outline of the pothole? It's like a crime scene.
Exactly. Yeah, and the city let us know yesterday the crews are out from 8 a.m. until 4 p.m. Monday to Friday, weather permitting, patching those potholes on a priority basis. So if you have a particularly nasty pothole in your neighborhood,
once you get out of it,
yes,
make sure your family is safe. Pull them out of the pothole and then report it.
Crawl to safety and call 311. Another number I want to throw your way.
All right.
$39. This is a great promotion I just heard of today at Granite Springs Golf Course. Now, they are already open for business.
Mm-hmm.
Things are kind of slow this time of the year because it's hard to golf with toques and mitts on. But they are charging $39 for a round of golf, $39 plus the temperature. So when you go to check in, if it's 2 degrees, then it's $39 plus two.
What happens if it's minus 20?
Good point.
They lock you up is what they do. They tell you to go back, put your clubs back in your garage. No golfing for you.
Oh, gosh. Anyway, I'm not sure how long that promotion is going on for, but I thought it was kind of a neat idea that they're using. And finally, want to say a big congratulations to local author Jennifer Hayward. Tweeted out a picture of her newest novel on the store shelves yesterday. We are on Twitter now, by the way, at HFX Daily News. Jennifer Hayward just got her very first paycheck today as an official Harlequin romance author.
Oh, you congratulations.
You might know her better as Jennifer Yabsley, born and raised in Halifax.
She was your best bud in school.
She was in university, and now she's lived her dream. She is now a Harlequin romance author living in Toronto.
Since we're giving high fives, how about one for the entire team, the Halifax Mooseheads? You know
Absolutely.
What? Good run, lads. You did great. Just the looks on their faces at the end of that game. You know what? Hold your heads high. You really did a great job.
Absolutely. And I got to say a farewell to Jonathan Drouin. This was the end of his junior career. Just an FYI, the 50-50 for that game.
Yeah.
$25,000 is what the winner walked away with.
Here's part two of our interview with Harv Stewart. And you know what? Things ran long, so this will be our longest podcast ever. Yay. Now, Harv, I have another question about Sportsland.
Sure.
Because you're saying you're wrapping things up.
3 weeks.
What do you have in store for us in the next 3 weeks?
We're going to try to find some old great clips from the show.
Oh, perfect. Neat.
And we're going to bring people on the air, and I'll maybe try to get you on as well, maybe for a couple of minutes, talking about Leslie Nielsen or whatever. Love to have you on. But we got to work out the details. I'm not sure where it all fits, and we'll just see what happens.
That's Harv's way of saying, yeah, we'd love to get you on, but you're not important enough, Patterson.
No, I didn't say that. I was thinking it. Yeah.
Oh, I know.
You agree, too.
All right, Dexter.
Okay, buddy.
You're with me, right?
But now, of course, you are back on radio. A little bit of work with a real radio veteran, Frank Cameron.
Well, he's an icon around here.
Unbelievable.
Of course. Yeah, I really enjoy it. You know, Frank is so much fun to work with. He and I did years ago, did a show called The 5:30. Like, I'd come in, fill in, doing a little sports piece once a week with Frank and Doug Saunders.
Okay.
CBC Television. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
It was called The 5:30. So, who was the guy, the surfer dude with the longest hair?
Leslie Choice.
The first time I went on the show, Leslie Choice is talking about his vasectomy. And then I come on right afterwards.
That's when Frank said, by the way, Harv, it's vasectomy day. So hopefully you've got a story right after Leslie.
Yeah, it's V-Day. I hand it out, right?
Oh, God.
But anyway, make a long story short. So we do this thing. And another time I brought my dad on set, the boy Jim. You guys both know him. He was such a great guy. But he was sitting watching us. He was just loving it. He thought it was great. But at one point, Frank says, and you know what? We have this guy to thank for Harv being here. So what he does, they point the camera at Jim, right? And my dad. Right? And he's got this big crap-eating smile on his face, right? So then they turn back.
Crap-eating smile. Yeah. You can say shit-eating grin here, Harvey.
It's okay. Okay. It's okay.
Only Eddie Shack can say shit.
That's okay. Right.
But anywho, it was great, and I really enjoyed working with him. Lisa, you and I met him a few times, and
oh God,
you
yes,
too as well, mm-hmm. Jamie, and we had so much. He was so much fun, and he looked at things in such a cynical, funny way, though. But he was never hurtful or anything. But it's just so such a dry wit,
yeah.
And I love working with him. He's great. He's
so that's
much
on Seaside FM twice
Seaside
a week.
FM Mondays and Fridays. We're just it's sort of a test run, see how people react to it. Mm-hmm. We hope it does well. And it's 11:15 on in the morning for like a 10-15 minute bit.
We mentioned before on this podcast that Seaside FM might be on the big boy tower, and we'll be able to pick up Seaside FM anywhere in Metro. It's kind of difficult now. Depends on where you are.
Well, yep. You can get it if you have Eastlink Cable, because it's on the
it's on Eastlink Cable.
Yeah, the Eastern channels.
There was only one dissenting vote, I guess, in town over the...
Yeah, just happened to be the people that,
the
that we used to work for.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
What do you have to say about that, Harv?
I say nothing.
Oh, come on. Give them two more beer. Let's get the real truth out of it.
I say absolutely nothing.
Okay.
No, you don't burn your bridges, but I think people know how we all feel about this.
Yeah.
Don't burn your bridges, but sit on the hill beside the bridge, and if anyone tries to cross it, just take them out.
You know, the thing is with Seaside, it's a little engine that could.
Exactly.
It's a community station for nonprofit.
Started by a huge fan of
Wayne Herod,
of radio.
Yep.
I love the guy. Mm-hmm. He's fun to work with. He whistles us down, Frank and I, if we go overtime. He'll come in with a whistle and say, it's time to go.
Oh, that's classic.
You can't teach an old dog new tricks, but you can whistle them until they stop.
It's like a referee's whistle. Just
beautiful.
Get the hell out of here. It's time for you to go. It's really funny, actually.
That's his house, isn't it?
I don't know if it is, but...
It's time for you to go because I want to get to sleep, guys. Come on.
I think there's somebody who lives downstairs. I don't know if it's his house or not, but it's a... You know, but when I first started in radio, we were in a big, ugly, yellow house in Drumheller, Alberta.
Mm-hmm.
It was disgusting. It was horrible. And then we were going to get new digs in a mall, but in between, they had us in an ATCO trailer. So if you had to go for a leak... You had to go into the gas. You had to go outside the ATCO trailer.
Minus 40, probably.
Minus 40.
Yeah.
Go to the gas station and go for a... What, do your business.
Get the big key.
Or else...
With the piece of a hockey stick on it.
Or else you could just stay outside and do the frozen rope thing. Because it's 40 below, right? It was horrible. And one time I'm doing a show with this guy, with a friend of mine, Monty Solberg, actually,
mm-hmm.
who is a member of Parliament.
God, yes, that's right. Monty Solberg, yes.
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
Monty was the program director at the time and doing the morning show.
Right.
So he and I did the show one time, and we're in the ATCO trailer, and there was a door right in front of me. This guy, this farmer, he walks in while we're on the air and says, can I pick up my tickets here? I said, no, sir, you can't. And Monty's trying to get through this, right? So, and I said, sir, you have to leave right now, if you wouldn't mind, if you go around the front. Now, if it would have been me now, I would have said, get the hell out of here.
Or you would have invited him on, made him a guest.
Yeah. Made him a guest. Yeah, get off my lawn. Or else, okay, have a beer, whatever. But it was like 8 o'clock in the morning.
Well, you know what? Funny you should say that you would have just said, get the hell out of here, because I'll never forget, and I've said this story before, the first time I was ever on Q104, here I am hosting the morning show with Harv and Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was huge. You know, I'm there with Harv and Lisa. I'm sitting in the big boy's chair. I'm running the show. And we play the first song, which was Trooper. And I come out of that song, and I'm all gung-ho. I said, hey, did you know the Trooper played my grad? And then Harv pipes up and goes, who the hell are you? And so
I can't remember that.
And so it began.
You kept bringing that damn story up over and over.
You never
and
let
over.
Me finish it.
Oh, God.
By the way, did you know that Trooper played my grad?
Would you look at the time?
Oh,
actually, you know what? I am looking at the time. I have a feeling that we're going to be turning this into a two-parter.
Yeah.
So have another beer. We'll keep it up because we didn't even get into any of the Q104 stories. You getting to our remote broadcast late. All of us. It's like you're broadcasting from what was it? Wilson's. Yeah, the Wilson's.
We're broadcasting. We're doing the show live from Wilson's gas stops in Sackville.
So we all had to drive from the station to Wilson's gas stops in Sackville,
right.
And we all took our own cars.
Mm-hmm.
You arrived there first. I had a few more things to do, and I'm always late. Mm-hmm. I arrived there secondly, so Lisa was there, and I was there. And then we're about to start the show, and Lisa does her news. It's like, where's Harv? I have no idea where Harv is. And we tried to call you, and we couldn't get you on your cell phone, and we had no idea where Harv was. I think it was a half an hour later, you called.
Called from a payphone at the Petro-Can down the other end of Sackville Drive.
So wrong gas station, but at least you got the Sackville Drive.
No, what happened was I took the wrong turn off. I walked into the gas station, and this kid was doing his thing, and I said, can I borrow your phone? I got to do this. Got to do this radio thing, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, get on there and do this thing on the phone.
Did
the
sports.
Live on the air. You did the sports from there.
Yeah. Left the car there. Ran through this bramble bushy crap with the, it was like,
oh my God.
It was like swamp. And
Harv's wearing shorts.
Wearing shorts. He shows up at the broadcast location.
Your legs looked like it was like a horror movie.
Oh my God.
Blood was dripping down all over.
They were cut to rat snot. I mean, it was
I'm here. I'm just in time to do your next sportscast, I think. They're just bleeding all over the floor.
But you know what? You do the dumbest things when you're trying to do be on time and all that stuff.
Yeah.
In radio, you know, how many people have gone out for a smoke or gone to the washroom or something, locked themselves out of booths and all this kind of stuff over the years. Mm. But one time I slept in. I was doing an afternoon show in Alberta. I got in there about 3 minutes to time. I had to run because there was something wrong with my car. I ran all the way. Got to the station, ripped the stuff off, turned the mic on, and did the thing, and ad-libbed three-quarters of it, and didn't know what the hell I was talking about. One of the guys comes in and says, that's one of the best sportscasts you've done in a long time, man. That was great. Like, holy.
Put that on your demo reel. Well, let me stop you there, because something we didn't do is go back through the history of Harv Stewart. So let's find out about you. You were born...
I was born as
a poor black child.
No, poor French-Canadian child. No, actually, I grew up in Elmer, Quebec, just outside of Ottawa. Right?
Okay. Mm. Till what age?
Well, my parents split up early, but I was back and forth just from Ottawa to Hull and stuff as a kid. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But I always wanted to get into radio because there was a sportscaster on CFRA back then, Ernie Calcutt. Back then, they had real sportscasts. They had
10
news people the whole thing was there.
Yeah.
And, you know, you had the Ottawa Rough Riders in town and all that stuff. I wasn't a Rough Riders fan, but my parents were big sports fans, both of them. They went to the Grey Cups and they did all sorts of stuff. And I was lucky enough to go see like a Milwaukee Braves game when I was 6 years old. The first time I ever saw like Major League Baseball at six. Are you kidding me?
Well, you went down to Milwaukee?
Yes. My dad took me.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
And he traveled quite a bit in the summertime. So I got to see places like Detroit, Cleveland, New York and all that stuff and just fell in love with it. And I was reading box scores when I was like seven or eight, you know, read the Globe and Mail and whatnot. Mm. So I really kind of sort of cottoned down to it and got into journalism school, but I wanted to do sports. But, you know, it's a voyage and it takes time.
Oh, yeah.
You had to do news first and all that. And I was ended up across the country and until we ended up with you nuts.
Okay, so it was Drumheller, Alberta.
Well, No. Actually, I started right out of school in Toronto at Chum AM and FM as a student and then got hired there for a year.
In Toronto?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Talk about starting with
starting
like learning to drive on a Formula One car, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I ended up with you guys.
It's been downhill ever since, right?
How mighty have fallen.
Working with Dick Smythe and Brian Henderson and all these guys.
And then you're just working with dicks. A few years later.
But it was one of those, I was just a kid gathering coffee and all that. But then they got a new coffee kid, and I was actually a reporter for Chum. Mm-hmm. But there's no way you could get on the air as a 22, 23-year-old there. It's just
not back then.
No, what's that? Unless you were just a really talented young disc jockey or something.
And then still, you'd have to start in the middle of the night and, you know, Christmas shifts, things like
that. Oh, I was doing that. I was working overnights and all sorts of stuff and covering stuff on the weekends. But, you know, I was working there at the time. A guy by the name of J.D. Roberts.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
He was the...
you mean John Roberts from CNN or where is he now? He was going to take over from Dan Rather.
Yeah, there was talk of that.
Yeah.
But there was an ego fight. There's all sorts of crap went on and stuff.
What was his ego like? What was he like back then?
Wasn't the nicest guy in the world.
No?
No, seriously. He wasn't. He was an egomaniacal little punk at the time, and he didn't like me very much, and I certainly didn't like him.
Don't mix your words, Harv. Come on. Tell us how you really feel.
No, he had the feathered hair and all that, and he you could tell he had a mirror and every corner of his house, probably.
Oh, wow.
But it was one of those things. He was very talented. And he worked with Jeannie Becker.
Both of them ended up on Much Music.
Oh, yeah. Well, Jeannie Becker was doing stuff on Chum,
fashion
too.
Television and Chum.
Yes, mm-hmm. But she started off doing like feature pieces on Chum AM
radio.
He and I just didn't gel at all.
Get out of here, kid. You bother me.
Well, no, he's only 23 at the time. We're basically the same age.
Okay.
But, there was an arrogance about him. But he was good at what he does. And, he went on to great things, of course.
Yeah. Now, what about Jeannie Becker? Well, what was she like?
Oh, she was a nightmare.
Oh, really?
Oh,
really?
Absolute nightmare. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't be saying these things on the air, but...
Don't worry. It's not on the air. It's on the internet.
Was not fun to work with whatsoever. I guess she changed over the years, but...
Right.
And she'd get into shouting matches with people in the newsroom and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't, very professional. And she got better over the years and whatnot, but she was a diva before there were divas.
You know, wow. The interesting thing about the broadcast industry, though, is you need to be able to promote yourself.
Oh, and she did that beautifully.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. And sometimes, it's a fine line between being able to promote yourself very well enough to really get ahead, and becoming that diva, self-centered.
I just never could grasp that.
That's why we're sitting here in the Beaver Bank bunker, because we're all too nice.
Yeah, we have.
That's it.
Yeah. We're too nice for life.
Wait. John Roberts, by the way, is now with Fox News based out of Atlanta.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's working for those right-wing idiots.
Yep.
Okay.
Never would have
nice
thought of
know.
Him as a right-wing idiot.
Hmm.
No, just an idiot. But
somebody should just go to his bosses and show him pictures of J.D. Roberts back in Much Music.
Oh, with the...
This is the guy who...
Feathered hockey hair.
I'm sure they're well aware. Yeah. I'm sure they're well aware. Just like, which brings to the next question. What are your thoughts on George Strombolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopolopol
all things.
You know, he's almost too cool and too smart for school with that.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, he brings a real intellectual sort of edge to that show. And his interviews are terrific. I think he does a great job with all walks of life.
Yeah.
You know, he'll talk to anybody. But he's following, so he's got such big shoes to follow. You know, Ron McLean, hello. You know, I mean, he's a national icon, for gosh sakes.
Now, is it, so it's in place of Ron McLean, what's happening with Don Cherry? Is he going to be interviewing Don Cherry?
Well, apparently Don Cherry is still going to, they're still going to do that more or less the same. Hockey Night in Canada, as we know, will not change a whole lot the next 4 years.
Okay.
But then when Sportsnet or whatever takes over, then everything could change. And I you can't see Don Cherry going much more than 2 years.
No.
He may go the whole four. He's 80 years old right now. So he may not go the whole 4 years, but something tells me he's ornery enough that he'll stick around. And
he'll
stick
just
around
do
right
it out of
end.
Spite.
Well, yeah, he, you know, he's a tough guy. Well, I interviewed him in the back of a limousine one time in Alberta. It was a fertilizer convention.
Well, if anyone can spread bullshit, it's him.
Yeah.
Now, is this before his time with the CBC?
Was he he was there. He was.
Okay, it wasn't his coaching days or anything.
No. He was on Hockey Night in Canada, right. mid-80s. But, yeah, and I talked to him a couple other times. He was really, actually here. There was that Hockey Day in Canada thing that was at Windsor, and we were up there for that. But he seemed a bit really stiff compared to the way he was then. He was really relaxed.
When you have the entire world coming down on you every time you say something,
it's
a bit gun-shy, I think.
That's
true. You know, and over the years, he got a... Yeah, he put up the fences. You could tell that. And we'll wait and see what's going to shake down with this. But I don't like the idea of one network controlling everything. And I hope they still have the broadcasts and sort of the same sort of stuff going on. And don't go too young and too crazy. And
as long as it's on Saturday night,
yes,
and it's on CBC.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with
it. It's an institution.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with being progressive and being hip and all that stuff. But save some of the stuff that's cool too. Like they do that. Playoff montage at the start of every Stanley Cup.
Oh, yeah.
It's terrific.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully they still do that. The guy that does that is a genius, I think. And he even gets all sorts of play in the States. People love it.
Well, Harv, thank you. Thank you so much. Oh, look at that. I had the balance all wrong. We're going to have to do the whole thing again.
What is it I used to call you? There's many
what
things.
What didn't you call me? On or off the air?
It was all in fun, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Harv Stewart, thanks for dropping by the Beaver Bank Bunker.
It was so much fun.
You know the
so
address now. Drop by more often.
I'd love to do another bit like this. It was so much fun.
And just before we sign off, quickly, something that's coming up this weekend.
Yeah, tomorrow's show, we're going to tell you about a very special fundraiser that is going on Saturday here in Halifax. It's called the Bash for BJ.
So make sure you download us tomorrow.
Until then.